Welcome to the GOG Cast, brought to you by Mad Cats, all about the game. An XSplit broadcaster, simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah!
I can't do the countdown because now everyone's zeroing legs. I'm like, I don't want.
You can do this.
Oh, it's true. I forgot. A house and no fingers.
Hand signals.
All right, let's 3, 2, 1, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. This is number 90, episode 90, a nice round number, and a lot of episodes that we have in the bag. Welcome once again. My name is Leah. I'm your host for this evening. I'm surrounded by other awesome people, namely Miss Catherine Smith Debier. How you doing, girl?
I'm good. I just like ate too fast, so I'm not sitting right.
That happens. That happens. Simo, how you doing? Nice haircut, Bo, and nice chair.
Thank you for both. I'm doing all right. I formatted my computer, so I'm like just trying to get everything set up again properly. So if you guys see anything like missing or any issues whatsoever, just tell me and I'll try to fix it as we go.
Weird, quirky stuff going on, but that's okay. Folks, I know we talked about it briefly. Did anybody buy anything Black Friday, Cyber Monday, video game rise?
Yes.
Did your chair the purchase?
Yes. Not only that, I bought, well, this little guy over here.
Mm-hmm. Pretty green and black DX Racer there.
Favorite two colors.
Comfy butt.
Very comfy. And I got this, which is not really, you know, Pokemon Moon. And I got a new PS4 Manette because...
Very nice, yeah. Controllers.
For playing the Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It was $50, I think, at Walmart. So that was a pretty good deal. And I got Titanfall 2 on PC.
Nice.
I think that's it. That was enough spending in one weekend.
Yeah. How about you, Kat? Did you buy anything?
We went to pick up Kitty Litter, and at Maldu, they had to pay the taxes event.
Huh? Crazy.
And then
we all moved, Simon. Was that on purpose?
No, because apparently people can't hear me very well, so I just need
to... Oh, you were moving away from your microphone, my friend. That might have been why.
Can you people hear me now? No, I'm sorry. All right, Addy was telling me that she can hear me, so she'll have to tell me if it's this better now.
Oh, or project.
I mean, usually I lower my gain because I speak so fucking loud that I like I try to lower it, but I just put up the gain a little bit. It's a new computer, so I don't know if it's better. She says nope. Fuck me.
Nope. A whole lot of nope. Technical difficulties abound today.
No, it's not too bad. It's just microphone.
So you bought... Oh, go ahead, guys.
It's because you keep turning your head away from the mic.
No way. But it's still... You're still supposed to be able to hear me. And Koopo just sneezed. Koopo Cam.
So, Kat, you just bought Kat stuff?
And then we went to Rona to pick up, because we have slippery stairs, so I wanted to get some of that rubber.
Yeah, death is bad.
And I forgot it was, you know, it was Sunday. I forgot it was still like a Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So we went to an outdoors mall in Montreal called Marché Central.
Oh my God.
I borrowed a car. We were stuck in a traffic jam inside the parking lot for 10 minutes.
Yeah, don't go to Marché Central ever.
To get to the fucking Renault de Bois.
Don't ever.
That shit is not desirable.
No, but do you know why it's like that? Because one, there's two. On the other Renault, there is only one exit, two exits. Yeah. There's the Costco that's just next to it, and there's the SAQ that's just next to it, and it's just fucking horrible.
It's not just a liquor store SAQ normal. It's the like warehouse liquidation where you can buy like bring your own bottles and fill them up.
So, I used to live in the area, and it's fucking horrible there. Marché Central. Unless it's like on a Wednesday at 3, don't fucking go to Marché Central because you're going
to
die.
Honestly, I kind of wish we would have gone to Anjou, but I figure like it would have been like I just had errands to run and we decided to do it Black Friday weekend. It was the worst. And you know what? Once we parked the car, we went into Rona or whatever. We did our things. And then Pascal was like, I'm kind of hungry. I'm like, let's leave the car here. Let's go have lunch. And wait for this madness to end. And we left at like 3:30 and it wasn't as bad.
Although, props are going to Renault. because that's my work, so thank you.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of choice in Quebec, dude. There's like Lowe's own propriety, and then there's Home Depot. That's it.
What are you talking about? There's BMI, there's Patrick Morin, there's a ton of little Ace. There's
competition.
Now. Canadian Tire is technically our competition, so thanks for going to Reno.
But Canadian Tire is a shit.
I was there all day. We're not getting into that.
No, but I'm just saying it's technically our competitors.
Canadian Tire is trying to be Target. Because Target left them Canadian Tire. Because the last time I went, they were like, hey, we have a half off furniture. I'm like, what do you mean furniture? They're like, well, bookshelves and tables, and there's a sofa. And I was like, this is Canadian Tire. Why is there home stuff?
I mean, they're expanding.
Oil for a car.
They're trying to be Walmart. I guess it's more what it is. Because Walmart has like auto stores and pet stuff and everything. I think they're more trying to be like Walmart than anything else, but
all right, to bring it back to video games.
Hey, yeah.
Anyway, I had
now that we've derailed.
We're not just talking right now between each other, right? This is being recorded, right? Okay, sorry about that. Holy shit.
I was in Toronto during the long weekend, it's not even a long weekend. It felt like a long weekend for me because I was in Toronto working the Jingle Ball and I didn't know which day it was. But on Saturday, I did go to GIS.
That's a fucking funny name for an event.
It's not ours, anyways.
I know, but it's fucking funny.
I know.
That's the point.
Just saying.
But I was in the Eaton Center, which actually wasn't that chaotic for around noon on the Saturday after Black Friday. But HMV was having a going out of business sale or something like that, or they were closing that store. And HMV, like in the transition from the movies and the Blu-rays and music and all that jazz, they started bringing in like geeky shit. So they had a ton of geeky shit for sale. So I managed to pick up a pair of Zelda socks
under
$5 and a pair of Pokeball stud earrings for under $10, which I was hunting for on Etsy, and I could get them for around the same price, but then the shipping was going to kick my ass for freaking tiniest earrings. But yeah, so I did get a little bit of geek shopping in, but nothing cray cray.
That's cool.
No big video game purchases or anything like that.
I'm gonna admit it was, the sales were good for people that were looking to buy a console.
Mm-hmm.
And on some new games, I mean, some new games were like, you know, Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1 were $50 instead of $80, and they're like brand spanking new releases.
Yeah.
Other than that, like I was looking at some of the sales, especially like on video equipment. Like I'm looking at lenses and cameras, and I was even looking at like maybe a new monitor and things like that. And I wasn't really impressed. It was only like 25% off. I'm like, that's like year round type sale. Like for me, Black Friday is like 75% to 40% off.
Wait for Boxing Day. That's Canada's time.
Yeah.
Didn't you read my article that I posted 2 years ago?
Yes, I reshared
it. That was 2 years ago though, Simon. We forget.
It still works. Don't believe the hype.
No, I know, but it's just like, I don't think Canada's their Black Friday, because I was looking at the sales at Amazon.com and I was like, I that's the kind of rebates I need.
No, I think we get those on Boxing Day.
Although NCIX did have a you should have told me you're looking for a monitor, girl, because NCIX had a great fucking sale and a great monitor, so should have told me.
I saw it too little too late, and then I realized I need to change my desk before I buy a new monitor.
Yeah, no, just remove the top shit. Just remove the top of it. So
I can't.
Will it fall apart?
No, it sits on little pegs.
Yeah.
That my dad glued in.
Oh. Why, dad?
So we can curse at his ghost, but just kind of like they broke. One of them broke, so he glued them all.
Okay.
He saved my desk by doing it, but at the same time, that means he's like...
He cursed it.
Yeah. I could probably... My brother has, like, a little handsaw. He could probably saw them and...
Dude.
And I would have a service.
Just
too much work.
Dude, just go to IKEA, get like, two legs for $20, and get, like, just a flat surface for another $20. You're done. Like, that's pretty much what I did.
I'm actually going to IKEA during my vacation, because I'm not going there during the weekend.
No.
Fuck that shit. Don't. After that weekend, I'm actually something out. And I'm actually shopping for a whole office setup, and then I'm going to be upgrading this whole PC situation.
Because seriously, like, I mean, IKEA, I've tried a billion different desks in my life, and I always come back to a fucking piece of wood and two legs. That is all I need. That is all I want. All I want is like desk space and to put my monitors and shit. Like the rest, I don't give a shit. Like it's useless. It really just boils down to what you want to do. So,
well, if you can get those mounts that, you know, so you can, like you were talking about, the one you ordered, the double stack one, or you want to mount them on the wall and they can swivel and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
but that's the way to go. You can't get that to at IKEA though.
No. You have to buy that somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to get the
standing part. Here, and you're good.
Find it. That's on my Amazon wish list. If ever, you know, people are feeling generous for them.
There you go.
And I want to buy me shit.
So, I guess we're all playing Pokemon then. Still.
Here, it's that. Anything? This is Pokemon? What I want.
I want to get into what's everyone right playing, but I think we're all playing Pokemon. Yeah. Yes. No. Maybe so.
People are not seeing me right now. They're seeing my monitor swivel.
Yes. I'm playing a mix of Pokemon and Stardew Valley.
Ooh.
I hadn't played the new maps with all the changes he put. Mm-hmm. So there's new farm maps, and then there's new crops, and then there's a few new buildings. Like there's a mill, because we've always had wheat, but we've never had a mill to put in to make it into flour. So now there's a mill. So I'm back to farming. Like I played a good 20 hour since I started the new game last week. It was actually, my Pokemon game is suffering because I'm playing too much Stardew.
Really? Yes. I'm addicted. Pokemon, I'm addicted. And it's the most amazing game for traveling. I don't think we really give the DS as much credit as it is. The fact that, like, I'm in the middle of, like, something and, like, oh, my plane's going to land. I have to get off. That's all you have to do. You don't have to save anything. Your game is ready to go.
Wait, what do you mean we don't give the DS enough? It's like the biggest selling console in the history of mankind.
No one ever talks about that. Like, no one ever talks about the fact that you can just, like, close the thing up. And then you don't have to worry about your app closing.
Or battery.
iPhone. Yeah. Like, the you know, it stays for a long time. Like, I've had this closed and on for, like, 3 days, open it up, and still have, like, a quarter battery left. Like, it's amazing. And the thing's durable. I'm a klutz. I've dropped it enough times. You know,
Which one do you have? Do you have the new one?
The new XL.
Oh, I only have the regular XL.
Yeah.
Is it? It looks thinner. I want to see how thin yours is. Looks thinner. Yeah. Oh my God, it's so much thinner. Yeah, mine's fat.
Now that we're all comparing these over video.
Yeah, we actually have a video comparing the old 3DS XL with the new 3DS.
Oh yeah, with that video you made, right?
That's one we did. Yes.
Don't look on YouTube, people.
I accidentally say funky C stick, and everybody thinks I said fucking C stick.
Really? Oh, really?
That's really funny. I feel like annotating and be like, I said funky. God damn it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I have to go rewatch it again.
Yeah, I'll drop it in chat for those who are watching on Twitter.
Amazing.
All right, let's get into some news. Yes, yes. So, guys, No Man's Sky finally got an update. So there's a bunch of things that they added to the update that went live. When was this? November 27th. Ooh, yeah, that was what, Sunday? Yes, day before. Yeah, something like that. There's new game modes: normal, which is original gameplay experience; creative, which is unlimited universe and big bases; and survival, which ups the challenge and tests explorers' endurance. I'm reading this straight off Polygon, because they have a really good jot-noted version. Players can establish home bases and kind of, you know, build them up for shelter, storage, alien technology research. Players can farm crops, including new plants and resources. You can add save points wherever you want. You can leave messages for other explorers, which is a kind of a cool thing. Freighters can be bought and manned by aliens for added storage. Streamlined quick menu is available to make looking through your inventory easier. And the PS4 version has photo mode, while PC has several bug fixes and visual improvements. All right. Personally, this is probably what should have been in the original game, and I think it's a little too late. I don't know if anybody's going to jump back into No Man's Sky to play this at the same level as launch day, which is kind of sad. And I think the game wouldn't have been as infamous, I guess you could say, if all this stuff was in there. But yeah, a little too late. Thoughts? I mean, Simon, you played it more so than us.
I mean, I think people who really enjoyed the game will be happy and excited about the changes, but I don't think it's going to bring anyone back who didn't enjoy the game at first is going to come back, because yes, they add a lot of things to do, but they don't fix the main problem I had with the game, with is that there's no point to it, I guess you can say. I don't know. I feel that it's just, I don't know. No, I don't
but
think
it's
going to
change.
And it's
not like Minecraft where it's so creative and out there that you can kind of make your own thing out of
it. No, exactly.
It's like it's too restrictive yet open-ended.
You're
at the
still
same
limited.
Time in the bad way.
You're still limited to again, backpack space. It just fucking drives me nuts, but no, I'm not going to try it.
No. Kat, does this entice you to jump in?
Hells no.
All right, moving on then, because there's other games to play. Final Fantasy 15 is getting some pretty decent reviews.
Yeah.
Pretty decent reviews. Destructoral, it gave it 9 out of 10. Eurogamer, 3 out of 5. Game Informer, 8.5 out of 10. GameSpot, 8 out of 10. So you can kind of see Gear Nuke, 9 out of 10. Game Radar Plus, 4.5 out of 5 stars. Again. 8.2 out of 10. Still good. Still good. Polygon, 9 out of 10. I mean, like, shit. This, like, actually...
For everyone, like, being not sure of how it's going to be, seeing no scores is kind of impressive.
Maybe we all... Maybe they... Like, collectively, we had such low
expectations
that it actually worked out, which is the inverse of No Man's Sky, which is funny that we talk about it
after. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, kind of wild. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, the way I see it is it looks like they made a lot of changes to Final Fantasy 15. Like, I haven't played it yet, but I'm seeing, like, a lot of things that they tweaked and adapted and made really change. But at the same time, they released Bravely Second and Bravely Default and Bravely Second and Lair, which gave us the classic Final Fantasy experience.
Mm-hmm, that's the truth.
We had that fix of the job system and the shibi characters and whatnot. And then I think that gave them the breathing room to have a more mature Final Fantasy game. Mature in the sense that it's like something new, something different.
Still a boys band.
That's what I was going to say. Boy band traveling in a car.
They still look like a J-pop band in their car. It looks like a long music video.
It is. That,
oh my god, funny. Final Fantasy 15. The longest J-pop music video.
It's pretty good.
I like that. I like that. Hey, look, this actually intrigues me to want to play the game now. There's only a few games that I haven't tried this year that have come out. And you know what? Holidays are coming. Maybe I'll pick this up and steal my brother's PS4 while I'm in Newfoundland and play it a little bit.
Yeah, see, 8-Bit in chat is saying that the characters don't feel like FF to me. She feels like it looks like a brand new IP. But I mean, there's been some very stark differences between Final Fantasies, and I think they needed a good refresh.
Yeah, I mean, if it's the mechanics and stuff, as long as there's some similarities, you know what I mean? Some
you're of still going to see Ifrit and Shiva, and probably, I'm sure, there's still going to be
there's going to be a Chocobo.
It's going to be a Chocobo.
And the Muggles? Muggles is Harry Potter.
It's Koopo. Where's Koopo? He's left.
Yeah. All right, next thing we've got news of games coming our way. Simon, wrap this one up in the news.
Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 4. I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom is like the penultimate esport. That and Street Fighter, they're like the most played games out there. So it's cool.
Fighter-wise?
Yes, it's cool to see that Capcom is finally going to release 4 in 2017, and sometimes in 2017. So, yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I'm not a big fan of fighters in general, but Marvel vs. Capcom is always fun because you get to see, like, this very eclectic cast of characters fighting each other, a bit like, not unlike, you know, Super Smash, where you have, it's all Nintendo, but it's, like, really, like, Ness fighting Ganondorf, you know? And so it's a bit like that, where you're going to have, like, Mega Man fighting Chun-Li or whatever. So I think it's a really cool IP, and I'm glad that they're bringing it back to the mainstream again.
Do you think it'll have any esports play?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, is it going to be, you know, just as big as it was? Like, when I was a kid, I remember hearing about, like, big tournaments, Marvel vs. Capcom. I don't know if it's going to be that size again, but, I mean, why not? Maybe they're like putting it out now because they're noticing how big eSport is. So maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe, you know, that's why they're working on putting the game out to benefit from that big eSports boost. Maybe that's what it is. So,
yeah. All righty then. We'll wait till next year, yep. Which is really soon, which yep. is really darn soon. In news that we keep hearing about every so often that we're just like, what the hell? A kid decides to go on a joyride in his parents' car after playing GTA.
Yes.
And of course, the focus on this news story is not the fact that a kid was left to his own devices and his parents were not paying attention. It was that he was playing Grand Theft Auto
and
decided to drive a car because he wanted to know.
And he's 11 year old playing Grand Theft Auto. I just want to say, like, parents are letting an 11-year-old play Grand Theft Auto because that's smart.
Two strikes on this parents playing a mature game with an 11-year-old, and second, letting them have the keys and not paying attention to where he is in your car. So, he was, the 11-year-old kid was driving erratically, so they thought he was drunk or a drunk driver. And then when the cops tried to pull him over, he sped up and then slowed down and then finally stopped. And the cops were like, what the hell? Until they got to the dorm and realized it was an 11-year-old kid.
Oh, it's so easy to blame video games.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
The kid was playing Grand Theft Auto. Right there.
Yep. Problem number one.
The problem that the video game influence. He's not supposed to be playing that game.
Exactly.
Prostitutes, drugs, crime,
violence, bloody violence,
very graphic violence. He's 11. He should be playing Minecraft or Pokemon.
Or Pokemon, yeah.
Or Mario Kart.
Yo, those are kids' games, yo. Only us old gamers play Pokemon.
It's true. you have a point there. No, but it's like, it always brings back to the same debate of blaming video game for something that video game had no part in. Well, it didn't have no part in it, but it's not, the main problem here is not because he played a video game.
Here's a question. How about if he was playing Mario Kart and then decided to drive a car? Would we still be talking about
it? No, of course not. Because it's Mario Kart, for sure, because it's Grand Theft Auto, because it's easy. It's easy press, it's easy to talk about it, and it's easy to blame it on the video games.
Nah, we're bringing up easy press later. Before we get into that, more Pokemon talk, because some glorious individual decided it was going to be a bright idea to attempt the ultimate quest, which is try and beat the Elite Four in Pokemon Sun and Moon using just a Magikarp. And they did it. Mad skills. It's a Japanese.
Of course it's Japanese.
Yeah, who decided to take on that quest and actually did it. And you kind of wonder, how is that even freaking possible with a Magikarp who actually in this scene had an attack when I met up against one. So, yeah.
Yeah, not a Gyarados.
No, Magikarp. Straight up.
That has splash and like a bit of water that it throws.
Tackle.
Yeah. So the way that Kotaku explains it is that while Magikarp was level 70 when he managed to make it to the Elite Four, that doesn't account for type differences. You see, Flail, the only attack it had, doesn't affect ghost-type Pokemon. According to a translation of their tweets on Rocket News, the person, Nanko underscore official, would resort to using Struggle, the move that Pokemon use when they're all out of PP on their moves, meaning they can't use any attacks available. While Struggle is the default action when a Pokemon has depleted their option, it harms all monsters, regardless of type.
Wow.
There you go. All the person had to do was to keep Magikarp alive while it struggled at ghosts. Struggle also hurts the Pokemon that uses it. So on particularly tough battles, Nanko official would run their opponent's PP down on all their moves so they'd struggle themselves to death. It can't have heard that Sun and Moon Magikarp can get the powerful Z move. So yes, I mean, he does have some kind of Z move if you manage to get the water such peace. I want to show the picture. Show the picture.
Bro, do you even splash?
Yo, do you even splash? It's just, indeed.
A super buff Magikarp.
I love it. Oh my god, they're priceless. They're priceless. But yeah, I mean, like, this is like the ultimate of ultimate, and obviously this person just did it so that they could get an article on Kotaku.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
like, that's a lot of fucking work.
That's awesome.
All right, and the last thing I got on the list, which is a new story, yet kind of an invite at the same time. The 2016 Game Awards are happening on Thursday night. They're being broadcasted on Twitch and YouTube and all that jazz. Of course, everybody, you know, should go check that out, because there's oftentimes, you know, nice news article, news tidbits that get dropped, stories and things. Didn't we see some of the open world Zelda last year? Do you remember that? I remember that, something like that. But we're going to be watching it live and then chatting in our Discord channel on a special chat. So if you want to come and comment on the Game Awards on Thursday evening, I believe they start, let me see.
My
what
time. God, there's so many categories. Holy,
I know, there's so many categories. Shit. It's going to be a long ass time. I don't think the show is like broadcast everything, like many of the different... award shows. Yeah. So yeah, live coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's 5:30 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be in the Discord channel chatting it up. So if you want to join us, feel free to do so. Not just type chat. We're going to actually talk in there and have a conversation.
Yeah, so it'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll be there Thursday.
Yeah.
Also, I think
Allie's going to too.
I just want to point out something that's really awesome that I find really amazing when it comes to video games. Like, there's two games that are nominated for Best Narrative.
Yeah.
Firewatch and Inside, which have no narrative. There's no, like, Firewatch, I played it very early, and there wasn't any, like, you just figure it out by yourself. And Inside, same thing. Like, there's no one's telling you what the story is.
Oh, so it's like a discovery kind of style. It's not like you have traditional...
Exactly. Like... You have to figure out what the story is by yourself. So that's... pretty freaking awesome that there's two games Best Narrative that have like no, it's not explicitly saying what the story is, so that's really awesome.
Man, there are so many different ways to watch the Game Awards. Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook Live, Xbox Live, PlayStation, Steam, IGN, GameSpot, Snapchat, Tencent, and NextVR. They're actually going to be live on every device and VR. Holy crap, that's a lot. That's cool. I like it.
Very cool.
So yeah, we'll be watching that live. We'll probably start a little bit before 8:30. Maybe get our drink on, have a chat, watch it. It'll be good. I'm excited.
It'll be fun.
So come hang, join our Discord channel. It'll be good times. All right, time to get into the topic of the show, which is about sexism in games, esports in particular. The original article that we are talking about comes from the BBC, and essentially it was written straight up after ESWC in Paris this past year, and they wanted to talk about esports and the community. They featured and interviewed two women in the scene.
Two of the biggest names
right now. Yeah. Stephanie Harvey and Julia Kiran, who are both professional CSGO players. The article talks about the trials and tribulations of women having esports, the pay gap, and trouble to get sponsors, harassment, all the traditional stuff that we know happens in esports anyway. Soon after, a response article is released from Paul Redeye Challoner. If I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He points out some of the glaring errors in the article. One, the article from the BBC says that Twitch is owned by YouTube when instead it's owned by Amazon, which has been updated. But he had a screen capture of it to prove his point. The obvious editing of the interviews to make the BBC's case, and bashing any male that takes part in the esport. Even Julia tweeted that she was edited to sound a specific way. So this is not unheard of for us, you know, to be asked questions about women in gaming, women in esports, women in the game industry. But is that actually working to our detriment? We're constantly dwelling on the negative, and it's borderline becoming damaging to the community.
It is, 100%.
Yeah. So I want to ask y'all, and this is kind of cool that it's two girls and a guy in this situation here. Can we come up with better questions to ask besides, what is it like being a girl in games?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the biggest issue that I had, and I think that the biggest issue that the community had with that article that BBC posted, which they have heavily edited, by the way. Mm-hmm. I saw it when it first came out, and what it is now and what it was when it first came out, there is a big difference on what they, you know, what they were saying and what it's now saying. But my I guess the remember when we had Steph Harvey, we had asked her, like, do you think we need to have female tournaments? And she said, yes, we need to have it because it's important to still have a female presence in the community. But I guess the real question to ask is, why isn't there females already in the top teams in the world? You know, Leah, is okay?
I'm reading what the only wrote.
Okay.
That's why I'm giggling.
Women, yeah. So, like, why isn't this happening? There's no, and even like even in the article, Steph Harvey says, yes, men have a certain advantage when it comes to even to this kind of thing. Like, they have better peripheral vision. They have like sometimes quicker reflexes. So, arguably, it could be, you know, an argument could be made that men could be superior, but by not that much. So, like, the real question is, why isn't there women already competing in men's league? Like, nothing, there's no rule saying that they're not allowed to compete in men's league. So why isn't it happening? Why isn't, and it's not like, you know, they can pass through the same process that every other men teams does, which is you sign up to a tournament, you attend it, and then you kick everyone's ass and you go into the premier division and you go into the main division and then you go into the pro division. Like, you just follow the same steps that every other men team are doing. Why isn't that happening right now? That's the question that I want to ask.
Could there be a politics issue? Like, let's say Steph Harvey, she's in CLG Red.
Yeah.
They have a CLG Red male team. Could it be that it's like you don't go against your own team, or they could compete against each other?
It's historically, there has been two of the same organization in tournaments. That has never been an issue.
Question, if Steph Harvey is one of the best CSGO players, is she better than any of the guys on CLG Red guys team and they just make a CLG
Red? By the way, I just want to say CLG Red is just a female team. CLG is just called CLG.
Okay, CLG.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Is she better? No.
Okay.
She's a great player. Like, don't get me wrong, but I was watching at IEM Oakland, there was a female tournament portion to it. And I was watching their game, and I'm watching a lot of CS, and what I was watching them do was fucking horrible. Like, they were buying, people who know Counter-Strike will know what I mean, like, they were buying P90s on rifle rounds, and just rushing, and, like, they didn't seem to have any strategies, they always ran the default, they didn't know how to, so, I'm like, why, like, you want to be taken seriously and you do that kind of stuff live on Twitch in front of everyone. I don't understand.
Do you think it's education then?
No,
they frequently say in the article too that like women have to have like part-time jobs or full-time jobs and can't get sponsors the same way and that kind of stuff. Do you think because they can't get sponsors, find decent teams, find good coaches, that's why they're at a disadvantage?
My question is, how do you think other males do it? They all start from the bottom. Everybody starts from the bottom. And then as you play with people, you get better. And then eventually your team gets recognized, or you get recognized as an individual because you're outplaying everybody else on your team. So, and I mean, just look at CLG. Like, CLG Red are getting paid, I don't know how much they're getting paid, but enough that Steph Harvey could leave her job for a full year to do that completely. And, you know, like it or not, they're not 100%, like, they're winning some tournaments, but it's all female tournaments, and it's not like they're destroying everything and making tons of money. So I mean, they are, you know, teams like CLG, Team Karma, Team Secret, who do sponsor female teams that never go to play against male teams, because when they do, it's just they get destroyed.
So here's the question. Here's okay. Let's take a spin on this. Obviously, we're talking about CS:GO, a game that's been around for 15 years. Yep. A game that, you know, like, guys obviously jumped in first. We've got Overwatch League coming. Yep. Do you think this issue won't be as great with Overwatch because everybody started at the same time?
I hope so. I don't know. I honestly don't know, because there's literally no reason for female gamers to not, you know, to not become pro gamer if that's what they want to do. There's no reason for it.
What? The only, I hope that is sarcasm you are putting in there.
It is.
Good.
That's sarcasm.
Okay, good. Hot damn.
I know, dude. Text takes out the context.
So essentially, to give you some context for those people listening. The only low boast, it's simple, no female pro gamers because of motherhood and pregnancies. All these 16 and pregnant trends ruin the pool of female gamers. It's funny, but you know what? That's the shit storm that we deal with all the time when it comes to jobs, being a woman, right? You have to think about these things, right? But
an alley.
The uterus is always getting in the way.
God damn, uterus.
And then B-Rope goes savage.
Just to answer Ali's question, she says, do you think the issue is that tier one teams are not scouting female players? Tier one teams are probably scouting tier two and three teams. At the moment, there's no female team in the tier two or three range. So, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Do you think there'll ever be a saving grace in CS:GO?
I hope so. I mean, it's... The problem is, even like in, I don't know about Europe, but like even in North America, there's rank S ESEA, which is like you get to play with the pros, and like every North American team, pro team, like they play random pugs on rank S. And at maybe there's one or two females in rank S, maybe, and that it's like the CLG guys, which arguably, you know, never do super well against guys. So I don't know. I don't know why it's happening. I honestly do not understand why it's happening. It's hard to say. And that's the question really that I want to ask, is to why is that happening? Because there's nothing stopping them. Well, in my opinion, there's nothing stopping women from becoming as good as a guy and working the way from the bottom and then becoming good and getting noticed and stuff. So
I feel like for me, esports would be the one event that would bridge gender gap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Olympics, it's always, you know, it's always separated, and there's like genetic, and it's all, even if it's the top tier of like our population athletics wise, there's always a difference in genetics and physiognomy. I feel like esports, you have a level playing field whether you're man or woman. Mm-hmm. I think it's more an age thing than a gender thing.
Well, it depends on the esport, because CS 1.6 back then, I would say yes, 100%. But again, I only know CS pretty much because it's the only one of the biggest esport I follow. And right now, like, some of the top players are 28, 29, like Taz from Virtus Pro. I think he's 30-something. So I think that experience will, right now in the CSGO scene anyway, experience trumps anything else when it comes to age or gap or whatever. But I don't know. It's hard to say. And no, Albinor, I haven't watched Torwin's video. I will listen to it. It's probably 45 minutes of him ranting about something, but I will watch it.
Here's another spin on it.
Yeah.
Is obviously, when it comes to these esports, it's not just how good you are playing the game when you get to that level. It's also the pressure you have to deal with and the stress level, mm-hmm. right? And I know the girls talked about harassment and the stuff that they have to deal with that the guys don't have to deal with, mm-hmm. because you just... It just doesn't happen.
Because it's a male-dominated scene.
It's a male-dominated scene, and it's just not what happens. Mm-hmm. Do you think the stress level is higher for the women because of that case, because they are dealing with that stuff on a daily basis and the guys don't?
Probably.
And then that factors into their gameplay?
I mean, in the perfect world, it shouldn't. But of course, it's always in the back of your head, you know, like it or not. If you get called, I won't say it here because it's horrible, but if you get like name shamed or whatever, and of course, it's always going to be in the back of your head when you're playing a game. And but like if I think that then again, it goes back to they've never proven that they can do anything. That's the thing. Like, prove that you can be just as good as the guy. And then, of course, you know, they can say whatever the fuck they want. But hey, we beat that team. We beat those guys. And we won this tournament. So fuck you. I don't care what you say. But right now, none of this is happening. And that's why I'm wondering. Because I would love everyone. In the, I don't know anyone who would not want to see a female team succeed. Of course, nothing. Of course not. Like, we all want everyone to succeed. You know, if it's male or female, and so I'm it's dumb to assume that the community doesn't want a female team to succeed. It's ridiculous, and that's exactly what articles like what the CBC posted is promoting. That's pretty much what it's promoting. It's promoting that females are like need to be protected and need to have like special tournaments and special things. No. They need to do like everybody else and fucking make it work. And yes, I agree that female tournaments at first are important to showcase what it is and give, you know, other new female gamers the opportunity to see role models and people that they're gonna that they can look up to, like Steph Harvey or I forget what the other girl's name is.
Julia Kiran.
Yeah, I only know her in-game name is Juliana, so whatever. Okay, Julia Kiran. So I feel that it's important to have that, but at some point, it's just going to keep hurting the female community because they're going to be like, we can just play against other females. That's good enough. But with that attitude, you're never going to play against the top teams in the world.
Having these, I mean, like, Kat, you and I have dealt with it. Whenever there's a situation that deals with women and gaming and the shitstorm that we deal with, the mainstream media jump on it, and that's the only thing they focus on.
Yes.
It is. They always talk, how do we combat harassment? How do we combat harassment? I'm just going to put it out there. There's a huge harassment issue in gaming, not just for women, just in general. You can't get online without some idiot spewing their vile. I think the big difference with when for non-male gamers, whether you're identifying female, queer, or whatever, is that we deal with this harassment outside, and then when we come to get away from the world, we're still dealing with it. Hence why we're way more vocal about it, because it's always in our face. So I don't think it's an esports problem. It's a society gaming problem. But I think if we can get mixed teams, not just mixed tournament, just mixed teams of anybody willing to kick ass in esports, that will make such good for the gaming community and for society as a whole. Mm-hmm. Just like, it doesn't matter who's behind the keyboard, because when we get in game, we kick ass and we're unstoppable.
Just hear the username.
We've had but it's not like we talk about esports and gaming, but I mean this is an issue we have in traditional sports. Like, we've had one female NHL player who was a goalie who got called
but
up randomly. You know, women in the media in sports teams, it's still not.
But the problem is there's a physical difference for regular sports, whereas in esports there's no. Like, arguably, there's no discernible differences between a man and a female, a man and a
guy. But there's not in the media side of it, and they still deal with shit.
Oh, no, for sure. No, it's true. Yeah, the media. Okay, the media sports. I guess what you mean, even for you guys, we have a blog about video games ran by girls. Like, I'm sure that you get a ton of flack and a ton of messages saying girls don't know what they're talking about when they talk about video games.
And this is the thing. People ask us that all the time and we don't. And you want to know why? And I think it's because we don't dwell on it and we're not
exactly
all the time in everybody's face. And that's the question that I want to bring up really with this article is that is dwelling on the negativity damaging to the community? Because we're always focusing on the separation and the anguish. Why don't we just propose a solution and try things instead of bitching all the time? Because that's all we do is bitch.
Yeah, I think it is because we don't get a lot of that negativity on Girls on Games. We didn't dwell on it. We got a lot of trolls when we first starting streaming. And it, you know what? We, our first podcasts, we got asked to show our boobs. Simon got so many fat comments and fat shaming.
I don't even remember.
We had, we invited voice on the voice? On the channel.
Flat, 5 second flat for the first N word to fly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know what?
That's online though.
But it was just like, you know what? Ban the person. And we didn't talk about it during the podcast. We didn't let it stop the flow of the show. We just had somebody, they kept making new accounts. We just kept flushing them.
Yeah.
The conversation on our podcast was never about the fact that we can't do our podcast because we have a, we have somebody who's black and somebody's throwing
racial slurs.
Racial slurs in the chat. No, we just kind of like, we asked them all to get on it and then we moved on. Mm-hmm. And voice has been back and we haven't had that, that no. problem since. Because why? Because we, you attract what you project. Yes.
Alice, do not feed the trolls.
That's the truth.
Yeah, the truth. And we promote acceptance by being accepting. Mm-hmm. In the end, the trolls will come in and they'll just be met with a bunch of people that are like, why do you hate? Why do you hate? Would you like to come with us and just play games and just be accepting of everybody? And that disarms a troll just like, you should be angry. No, we're not angry. We're not angry.
Yeah,
we're not. We like games, and we're not going to let someone who's non-happy ruin our fun.
And I just want to say, like Albonar was saying, it's hard to say female tournaments does more harm than good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
At one point, it, I think it's going to become at a point where it does more harm than good. I don't think we're there just yet, but I think that if we continue the stigma of separating men and female tournaments, I think eventually it's going to become harder.
I think where they benefit is becoming a safe place where a girl doesn't have to feel wrong for not doing well or something like that. Like almost like in coaching scenarios, mm-hmm. I think they're good and a chance, yeah, for the safe space. You know, you're not going to get like the crap that we can get.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of constantly the divide, yes, that's going to be an issue. There needs to be a some point where everybody comes together. And like what we do here, everybody's like girls on games and they're like, oh, well, I'm a guy. Can I cross dress and be on it? I'm like, we have guys on the team because that's the whole point, is to be inclusive.
Been here since like, almost the beginning.
Yeah. So like it's the thing is that we need to stop dwelling on the negative. Because that's what people do all the time. There's enough shit in the world. We don't need that in our pastime and our escapism and all that kind of stuff. We need to start taking that negative, alerting that, yes, it's a problem, but not dwelling on it all the time. Instead, converting it into something positive. Mm. And to say, oh, well, you might not, you know, you're scared of playing over there doing that. Well, come over here instead. Mm-hmm. And in that case, some of the female tournaments really do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at some point there needs to be a merger between the two to make it fair.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
Honestly, yeah, I agree. And I'm hoping that this situation right now is not stopping future female gamers from trying to become professional or something. And they're like, I'm not even going to try because there's no pro gamer on the scene right now. Like, why don't let that stop you? So I think it's gonna take one very loud mouthed, opinionated, extremely good esport female player to be like, fuck you all, I don't give a shit, I'm doing it, to be like, oh, maybe I can do it myself, maybe it's something that can happen. I think that's what we need right now. We need just the one who's gonna belay with everyone, doesn't give a shit, doesn't dwell on her gender at all. She's like, I'm a girl, who gives a shit, and
whatever, just gonna
kick everyone's ass. That's what needs to happen in any esport right now, because it's not happening in any esports, and that's the main issue.
Allie, 8-Bit Blonde is writing in chat, I have been playing online competitive games for years, the majority of them not using in-game names and are not gender neutral and are overtly feminine. And the hate I have received has been so minimal in comparison to the support and camaraderie I've experienced. you know what? And then that's what Allie says. And you know what I do to the hate? You block them and move on with the positive players you encounter. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We encounter that more than anything else. Yep. And I know that people come to us and ask us questions about, you know, like we recently did, Catherine and myself both got interviewed for an article in Metro News Toronto about harassments in VR games. And we try, when we keep getting the question, like, do you get harassed, whatever, and all that kind of stuff. How do you deal with it? What can people do? And education is definitely one part of it, and alerting to the fact, but then also it's just not dwelling on it. It's moving past it. It's having safe conversations about it all. It's about, you know, being inclusive. And I think that's going to benefit the community as a whole much better.
Oh God, Koopo.
Articles like the fucking BBC spewing out wrong facts and just perpetuating the hate, perpetuating the problem.
For easy clicks and be like, for easy clicks. Feminism, esports, bad, and then, oh my God, clicking. You know?
I mean, everybody, you know, a train wreck, a car crash, you can't help but look at it, and, you know, like, we're drawn to that kind of drama. We as humans love drama. We love it. We suck it in. We love to have something to gossip about, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the type of stuff we should be talking about anymore. Nope. When it comes to video games. We're beyond that now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be fair. There's always going to be people that have no compassion, that don't give a shit, and the only thrill they get is when they make people lose their shit, press their button. There's always going to be sociopaths and psychopaths. Mm-hmm. So we can just make it as good as we humanly can. Mm-hmm. And I've taken the resolution of only focusing on what makes me happy, mm-hmm. and what I think is important, mm-hmm. and on the people that are important to me. Mm-hmm. And if it's the same in video games, mm-hmm. if somebody annoys me, I have no reason to add you to my friend list.
Yeah.
You are not entitled to any of my time or my attention. And I've had a lot of attention seekers.
Oh! And that's when Kat's internet died.
Too bad. She was like really impassionate about her piece.
She was on a rant there. She was borderline 8-bit blonde rage.
Oh, ABB rage almost. But yeah, like, I mean, the best way to ignore trolls and problems is to mute them and move on with your day.
Exactly.
Like, there's no reason to... Hey, you're back! No sound, but you're back. No sound. Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
Okay, you're back.
Of course, that always happens mid rant.
Whenever it's like you're super passionate and then cut.
It's like the internet knows.
The boss car and just like my router's just like, bitch, please.
Like you're so boss. Your router's probably a male.
Cut that feminist off. Oh my god. All right. Well, I mean, I think in the end, even when we look at mainstream media and articles that come out from trusted news sources, we should all take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but it comes from the BBC. You're like, fucking hell.
I know.
You would think the BBC would do their research.
Everything with a grain of salt. I mean, you never know. I heard a story today that The Verge started a story about CNN playing porn for 30 minutes, and it turned out to be totally fake, but lots of people reported on it, even really big news outlets.
The funniest thing in Montreal is something called Le Journal de Montréal. Yes. Which is not Le Journal de Montréal. It's Le Journal de Montréal, which is almost the same thing. And they publish like fake news, but it's super well done.
It's and like the Onion.
Even I sometimes, I'm like, wait, hold on. What's the title of this page again? To make sure that it's proper. But it just goes to show how hilariously stupid it's become now. That satire pages make you think twice about actual pages, because it's like that kind of shit could happen on a real page, on a real news page now. Mm-hmm.
It is, and there's like a big movement to combat fake news right now, and they need to do so, because even like if you can't trust like The Verge or BBC or
can we trust?
Like, yeah,
and that's why I get all my news on sites like community-driven sites like Reddit, like those, because it's non-biased, and you get more often than not the opinion of both sides of the coin. Mm. So I think non-traditional news website is where it's at right now.
Mm. Yeah. We'll see what all pans out. I mean, obviously for video games, it's going to be hot news, be it esports, be it traditional video games and non-competitive. It's going to have to be something that we keep an eye out for and to second guess anything we read. And just because it comes from BBC or other reputable news sources doesn't mean it's always legit.
And honestly, like, to me, for, as the CSGO community as a whole, I fucking love that literally everyone in the community was like, that article is bullshit.
The thing is, too, is we've spoken to Steph, and we know she doesn't talk like that. She's not negative about
it. And even, like,
yes, there's shit, but she's like, there's good in it.
Yeah. And the they chose to focus on everything negative.
Yeah, everything negative.
And, like, at the Steph and both Julie, they said it, like, they quoted us in a manner that made their article look better than what we're actually talking about, which is like so fucking horrible. So yeah, just to go back to what I was saying, the fact that like the community said everyone, every single like Red Eye, he's one of the most, you know, popular person in esports in general, and Thorin made a video about it, and Richard Lewis talked about it, like all the big names in esport talked about that article, saying that it's bullshit and it's horrible, and that everyone would love to have a female team dominate the world scene, that no one is stopped, nothing is in place right now except like weird fucking tournaments in like Saudi Arabia or whatever. No one is stopping female teams from becoming powerhouses right now. Literally nothing is stopping them but themselves. So, I mean, who knows what it's going to take.
So, girls, start your training. Get your game on.
I'm excited for Overwatch League.
And kick some ass.
Very excited for Overwatch League.
All right, before we close out the show here today, I have two announcements. First one, Saturday night we're going to Meltdown. So if you're in Montreal, 8 p.m., come hang out for drinks. It's that's kind of like our holiday happening. Celebration, that kind of thing. We just want to go for drinks and hang out. Nothing formal, but you're cordially invited to come hang with us on Saturday evening around 8 p.m. That's when we'll be there hanging out. Maybe we'll play some games. So I know they got some stuff there. So you should come hang out. The other piece of news directly affects this here show. So, this is the 90th episode of the GOG cast, and you know it's gone through many transitional periods, and this is going to be one of them. We are essentially taking the GOG cast offline, in that we're not going to be live streaming every week at 8 p.m., this wonderful time that you guys have come to know and love and hang out with us, our podcast, because many reasons, but one of them is that when we do a show like this, we can't edit in to clean up our issues. We are restricted by some of the guests we can have on, and we want to be able to bring you guys the greatest thing ever when it comes to a podcast. And our audio version of the show is kind of suffering for it because we can't clean it up, because not editing in the sense that we're going to chop and slice and dice what each other says is not going to become a non-explicit podcast.
It's going to become a BBC article.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's because like there's guests that like I want to talk to, and I've got some in the bank from Migs that like I just couldn't get on a Monday night at 8 p.m. So we are changing up the format. We're going to go just audio. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be on this channel. Once a month, we're going to host like a call-in show where we can pick the topics in advance. We can have you guys come in and chat with us, chat video games and all that jazz. What it also does is free up Monday nights for more streaming and chances for you to hang out with us in a more video game scenario. Remember that inclusivity we were talking about? Yeah, you're gonna benefit from that.
Full circle here.
Full circle. So now on Monday nights at this wonderful time of day, we're going to be hosting Multiplayer Mondays. So starting next week, it's going to be with Simon. I'll see if I can jump in as well. But we're going to pick a game and play multiplayer. It could be two of us from GOG, at least one member from GOG will be there.
Yes, ideally.
ideally. And we will be inviting those in the community to play with us. Mm-hmm. It could be any type of multiplayer game. Could be CSGO, could be Overwatch, could be Diablo, could be, I don't know, anything at all.
Name it.
Silly. You name it, we'll play it together. But yeah, that's our chance to be able to play in game with you guys. And we will be attempting to host the audio through Discord, so your voices will be heard. So be careful. remember, we do have rules. That's to be nice, within reason.
Yes.
We will try things like dual broadcasting and multicams, but obviously it's a little bit of a technical stuff to try and figure that out. But with that being said, we have increased our stream team because you people are awesome and watch us. And we have lovely women who want to play video games, and Simon, of course, live on here. So to give you a rundown of how the schedule works now, Monday will be multiplayer Mondays. Of course, next week's going to start with Mr. Simo hosting the show.
Yep.
Tuesday, Miss Catholic is still here at 8 p.m. Wednesdays are currently free.
FYI.
FYI.
If you know anyone.
Any streamers out there. Thursdays is Witchling slot at 8 p.m. Friday, we have Bianca at 8 p.m. Saturdays, Miss Sarah is going to be streaming for us at 8 p.m. Sundays, we've got Alice at 2 p.m. and then another cast on Sunday evening, City Chan at 8. So yeah, there's lots of different chances for you to come here and hang out and play some video games with us or watch it and commentate. And yeah, if you're looking and interested to stream with us, a holler at Simon especially, but info@girlsongames.ca.
We're on Twitter. DM us and we'll figure it out.
Exactly. And if you're wondering about the podcast, so we're going to try and still release it every Monday.
Yes.
So that you still have that repeat listening time.
Yes.
So yeah, we've got some dope shit planned for the podcast. So I hope you guys are excited about that. It really does open us up to some really, really, really cool stuff. Stuff that we would never be able to do traditionally through this way. Some guests, some really cool guests that I'm working on. And yeah, I did record some good stuff at Migs. I'm going to share that with you. I even got an interview with Miss 8-Bit Blonde. Kind of twist the tables a little bit because she's got a really cool job and I wanted to tell you guys about it. So yeah, that's pretty much the news for today. Of course, we have to want to thank our sponsors, Fun.io, for our wonderful website hosting. The stream schedule this week, I'll let Simon roll through it because it's still the old way of doing things.
Before, Leah, where can we find the podcast audio?
iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, and Stitcher.
Thank you. So basically, the place where you would go look for a podcast, you will find the Girls on Game podcast, pretty much. Like, we're on all the really the big name, the big platforms, we are there. Are we also going to post the audio on YouTube?
I might. We'll see how that goes. Okay. Rendering it on top of, I'd like to do something with like waves and things, but it all depends on how long that takes. Hour long podcasts, doing that can be render intensive.
And we'll see. And as Kat posted on the website.
Yes.
On games.ca, motherfuckers.
That /category/podcast.
Yeah.
We should to make that fancier. Can we like /podcast?
Force EBB to stream. I Twitch NA. We're working on that. The girl's a little busy right now, but we're working on that.
She's very
busy. Stay tuned.
Sorry. As for the stream team, the game's coming on this week. Tomorrow, Catliss is continuing Batman Telltale game. I think she's on episode 3 right now. Thursday, Witchling. Either going to be some Overwatch or some Dark Souls 3. Still thinking about it. Friday, Bianca's hopefully wants to finish Final Fantasy X. If she doesn't get stuck, she did beat Lady Uniscula, whatever, last Friday, so she technically only has Sin left. And then we have, on Saturday, Sarah, I don't know what she's going to be playing, Sarah, she didn't tell me. Probably is, like, something like StarCraft or...
StarCraft or that's usually Diablo.
Some sort of, any one of the Blizzard games, so... Blizzard stream, and then we have Alice going to be playing some Witcher on Sunday afternoon, and Cindy going to be continuing her GOG save in Stardew Valley on Sunday evening.
Awesome! That was really entertaining last night. I was watching.
I loved it. It was really cool.
Man, she's good at the fishing. I'm terrible at the fishing.
I wonder if she got the mod installed to make fishing easier.
I did, and I still suck.
Honestly. The controller helps for the fishing.
I had no problem fishing with the mouse. Get good, Scrub.
I'm better on button mashing with
get
the controller.
Get good, Scrub. It's not button mashing. It's precision clicking.
No. It's not button mashing. Good.
I'm a console peasant trying to be a PC master race.
Hey, man.
Someone needs to make that t-shirt and then... PC master race, Simon. It's not button mashing. It's precision clicking.
Okay, yeah, we're putting...
We should put that in the store.
I'm just writing it in Helvetica or Arial and doing that shit and
make a t-shirt on Vistaprint or whatever.
No, in our store.
That's true. No, I'm just saying.
Yes, in our store.
And by the way, I'm like almost 100 hours into Destiny, so...
Good.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so website highlight-wise, we wrapped up all the stuff that had to do with Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We'll be doing the same for Boxing Day when that comes. It's soon, or rather, it's
coming. Oh, yeah, we have some cool gift ideas, too.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're looking for a gift for the gamer on your list, go check that out. We've got stuff from $1 to $15, $15 to $50, and then $50 plus. Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff in there, and some pretty funny jokes, too. And if you'll get our humor, you'll get our humor.
Alice, I will murder you. Alice, I will come to where you live. She says, Simone plays Destiny. Because every time I'm like, Alice, you got to play Destiny. She's like, I don't want to play Destiny. And then like I come back after like playing WoW or going off a ditch. Like, I played Destiny all night. Where were you? Like, fucking died of fire, man.
Oh, my.
Super salt.
All right. Well, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon, for hanging out with me this evening. Kat, how can people track you down if they want to talk to you about the video games?
I am CSDESBINS, CSDBIN on everything, Twitter, Instagram, all the gaming platforms. Right now, I'm mostly on Steam because I'm playing Stardew Valley. So nice. Add me.
Nice.
And follow me on Instagram. I posted another sunset.
Woohoo!
You're such a hipster!
Simon, how about yourself? How can people track you now?
Apparently, Ali also now thinks that I don't play Destiny, so everyone's on my case tonight.
Oh, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
I mean, you can. I'm on Twitter, GOGSimonM. Nice. Or you can type. I don't know if Voice of God works, but that's my nickname on Twitter. So. Because I had changed that at Meltdown, actually. Mm-hmm. We had a GOG party.
Exactly. I'm Leah Jewer on social media. You can track me down. Yeah, but of course, you want to learn about everything that is Girls on Games. That's why you're here, right? Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, The Girls on Games. We're just Girls on Games on Instagram and Snapchat. But everything you could ever want to know or need to know is on girlsongames.ca. That's our website. You should go check it out. We got cool shit up there. All right. That wraps up episode number 90, the last live podcast for a little while. We will bring it back, don't worry, on special occasions when fun shit is happening. But trust me, you're going to like the audio version. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For those who want a preview, was it number 84?
The Hype podcast, you can find it.
What number was it?
I don't remember.
I'm going to go get it because
it's a little while. It's called The Hype.
Yeah, the one called The Hype. Just go look at it. That was our test run for the only audio podcast.
Mm-hmm. So, little sampling. Well, that's it for this evening. Have a wonderful night. Don't get too lost shopping for holidays. And happy gaming. We'll see you all later.
Bye.
Ciao, guys.
Bye, everyone.